In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the first week of June 2004, this is the Rain Report, available in streaming audio in both real audio and Windows Media formats from rainreport.com. I'm Roger Cusson, KA1USA. From time to time, we have shared with you the thoughts of Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, and so we will again for the next 2 weeks as we excerpt from his talk given during the ARRL forum at the 2004 Dayton Hamvention. Here's our first excerpt from his presentation.
One of the things that we need to do is open up our hearts and open up our minds a little bit about the new generation coming along. Over the last several years, I've made numerous talks about what people think about the new group of hams coming along today. And the other night I mentioned about the fact that my grandkids, probably when they take their test 6 or 7, 8 years from now, there'll be questions on that test that hasn't been thought of yet. They may be taking knowledgeable courses on speed of light, how to modulate light waves and fiber optics and stuff like that, which we don't do today. And what brings that to mind was, in Denver I made a talk and I talked about the dumbing down of amateur radio. And I managed to get a copy of the exam, not literally, but virtually, in 1972 when I took my general. Yeah, I walked downtown barefooted in the snow, uphill both ways, to the federal building, to a steely-eyed inspector. And yeah, I had Hartley and Colpitts and Pierce oscillators on my test. I had rules and regulations. I didn't know what they were going to be, but you know, I read the handbook and stuff like that. And then I looked at what was on there today and compared it. Yeah, a lot of us in this room know how to do a Colpitts or Hartley or Pierce oscillator, and you remember there's always a component missing, and you had to tell them what it was. It wasn't valued on it, and you had to compute the value. But today, you've got phase lock loops, you've got liquid crystal displays, you've got capillarian elements, satellite operation, digital. None of those things were on our test back then. I dare say that if we were to put the gun to your head and say, I'm going to pull the trigger, go in there right now and take your extra class or general class test, most of you wouldn't pass it. I made that deal with one particular person not too long ago who was very vocal in the crowd about how amateur radio had been dumbed down. And I said, you know what? I want to make a deal with him. I've established a pretty good relationship with Enforcement Bureau, Riley Hollingsworth in particular. Monday morning, you're going to go down to the federal building downtown Dallas and take your extra class again before an FCC examiner. And if you pass it, great. We'll give you another call and just do all sorts of things for you. If you fail it, we're going to suspend your license for a year. No taker. I think I made my point. It's not that amateur radio has dumbed down. People like me have failed to keep up. And if you look in your heart, you're going to say the same thing. Amateur radio is what you make of it once you get your license. And like I say, when I walked out of the federal building with my first general ticket, my only general ticket at the time, I wasn't any smarter than anybody else. I just passed an exam. I started learning in the next several years. I had several VOMs hanging on the wall that for some reason, they wouldn't read ohms anymore because I'd tried to read volts. A lot of volts, as a matter of fact. I had three of them actually hanging on the wall. One of them was crushed, and you wonder about that when I ran over it with a car. So you learn. You learn by doing. And that's what amateur radio operators do today when they get their licenses. They learn by doing. Just because you pass an exam doesn't make you an MIT grad. If that's what you want the test harder. And if you want people to come out of that examination room in here to be able to design circuits, you're in the wrong hobby. You're in the wrong service. Go to MIT. Go get your EE. Then you can do these things and say what you want to say. So not a day goes by that when I have a chance to work with amateur radio, I don't learn something. And I've been doing it for over 30 years. I do learn quickly, though. I can tell you that. When I took an old GE Progress line, put it on 2 meters, I didn't realize that wire on top of that, too, had volts on it. I know now, so I'm a quick learner. I've never done it again. But that was after I'd been a general for 2 or 3 years. And I actually took old GE Progress line and converted it over. Now, I love the nuts and bolts of amateur radio, but I'll never be an engineer. I know that. I've got ham friends of mine there in Dallas who work for TI and Acatel, which now was Collins Radio. You could mention a chip to them, and they'd tell you what it did. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I want to build the things I'm interested in. I want to operate in the modes I'm interested in, and have fun. Jim Weaver mentioned about restructuring and stuff like that, and I know some of you got your shorts all in a wad about it, but it was something that we came up with not lightly. It was not an overnight decision. Hey, let's figure out how to make all the hams mad. I made a speech at the QCWA meeting because at that point in time, I knew what we were working on. This was back in Dallas last summer. But I didn't know what the details were going to be because the committees were still working on the details of it. And I said what we wanted to do, the American Radio Relay League, is be fair. And that's always our interest, is being fair to all hams. I said if we come down on the side of code, we're going to make the no-code people mad. And if we come on the side of no-code, we're going to make the code people mad. So the best thing for us to do is be even-handed and make everybody mad. And I think we've done a good job of it. What the FCC will do on restructuring is anybody's guess. You know much about that as I do.
You're listening to a talk by ARRL President Jim Haney, W5JBP. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for Rain audio.
Now, I do have some inside information. I don't mean to insult anybody here. It's not intended. What my intention is doing is share with you what I know, or at least what I think I know. Let's use FIST, a lot of your members, fine organization. But I don't understand why the filing was done the way they did it, other than to appease the membership, because the FCC is not going to go back to 13 or 20 words a minute, and you can take that to the bank. It's not going to happen. And why is that? They were sick and tired of dealing with these medical waivers, thousands of them a year. Congressmen calling them for called congressional inquiries and stuff like that. It drove them crazy. They're not going to deal with that anymore. So don't even think about going back to 13 and 20. It's not going to happen. Should it? I'm the old school. But I'm still going to do the things I enjoy doing. I want you to always remember that. Whatever you enjoy about amateur radio, it's not going to change. We also knew that they were not going to issue any more advanced. They weren't going to issue any more novice class licenses. These were orphaned out there, if you will. The biggest rub seems to be that the league's proposal of upgrading novices and techs to general without taking an exam. Personally, I don't care. I don't think our board of directors care. Take an exam now. Get it behind you. The question is, what will the FCC decide? Well, they've said once before they wouldn't grandfather, but on the other hand, I think there's been a little bit change in their views, and they might. I don't know any inside information there. We gave them an option. You want to clean up the orphan class license, here's a way to do it. People ask me, said, well, what do you really think is going to happen? And I said, you know what? After going up there four and a half years, I've learned one thing, and most of you people know this too, because you get mail, and it's delivered by a federal worker. And I mean, no insults to postal workers here, but it's a path of least resistance. For a federal worker to look at our proposal, or the other 17 or 18 or how many of you they are, and I said, you know, the easiest thing for us to do is just strike element one and say goodbye. Summarily dismiss all the petitions, which they can do, and just be no more element one. That, for them, is the path of least resistance. Will they do it? I don't know. I think what they may do is take various pieces of some of the petitions and try to come up with what is considered the best workable thing for them, and yet give amateur radio a little shot in the arm. We need that. And let me tell you why. Contrary to popular belief, I'm a ham too. And people don't understand that, especially when I get on 20 meters. They say, gee, why are you on 20 meters? Why not? I'm licensed to work there. But I do pay attention, and I travel a lot. And sometimes I carry a talkie with me, sometimes I don't. I listen a lot. And there are several pieces of information that correlates with a survey that we did through a professional survey company last year, which we do from time to time. But the survey said what happens is 25% of the people's license in the last 10 years only get on for about a year, and then they give it up. And I can understand that. Using Dallas, my own hometown, as an example, on 2 meters, it's the same bunch driving to work, it's the same bunch going to lunch, same bunch going home. I know, because I talked to them. I'm one of that bunch. I've always made it a point when a new ham came on, and we're in the KE5s now, I'm like, point to talk to them, chat with them. And I made a lot of new friends that way because I know what it's like to be a traveling salesman and going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So this is W5JBP. Is anybody around? And hear nothing. And 3 minutes later, some guy comes on and calls W5XYZ. He says, oh, yeah, here I am. I've been listening for you for 20 minutes. Well, why didn't you answer me? You didn't know me. I understand that. So when a new ham hears the same bunch of people on all the time, and either they won't talk to them or finally get into the conversation and do talk to them, after about a year, it's the same old bunch. Something called boredom sits in. Happens to me. Now, I've learned how to work around that. I'm going to give you a game to play. Tulsa is why I brought that city up, is where I did this. And I've done it several other places. There's always some person on your local repeater that's the person, right? On there all the time. I get their name. Pretty soon I know his wife's name. Pretty soon I know they bought a boat. Pretty soon I know they've got a camper trailer. pretty soon I knew they were going to Lake Eufaula, which is a lake there in Oklahoma, camping. And I always drove back to Dallas on Thursday morning, so I'd hear him on. So, hi, Bill, how you doing? How'd you enjoy that new boat? And he doesn't know me from Adam. But I know him. So, hey, Alice, get her license yet? Well, she went. And I know what's thinking. Who the hell are you? Where are you going camping next week? I hope the weather's good for you. He is going insane now. Play this game. It's a fun game to entertain yourself. I love self-entertainment lots of times like that. But we've created a two-meter ghetto over the years. We really have. Whether you agree with that or not, it is fact. Let me give you another piece of statistics that scares me to death. 22% of the licensees, new ones, don't even get on the air. Do you know that? Why do you think that is? Well, when we saw that, we wanted to know. So we went back and we said, okay, why is this? This is the shocking part about amateur radio to me, because I've never been this way, and I don't see any other ham can be this way. Nobody to help me. Went to my club meeting, nobody said hello. I felt like an outcast, was one of the responses. That's got to stop. Now I'm going to give you a couple secret ways to do this. It's really no secret. UVEs out here, spend a buck or two of the money that you keep. I want you to print some cards up with your names and calls and phone numbers on them. When these people graduate and get their exam, give them the card. Doesn't mean you have to go show them how to put on PL-259, but you know somebody that will. Take them under your wing, and you see your club grow. And then I'll see amateur radio grow, and the organization will see the organization grow. Now, how hard is that? It's not hard to do at all. 22% never get on the air because they didn't get any help or didn't have a club. Now, there's one question that comes to my mind, and that is, well, how come you found the VE session? What's wrong with this picture? And I don't have the answer to that. But I think a lot of it has to do with I don't belong to the group. That's one thing that we need to do. We need to start doing a little soul searching about to help these new people.
This has been the first of two excerpts from a 2004 Dayton Hamvention presentation given by Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League. We'll bring you the second excerpt from his talk next time. The Rain Report is copyright 2004, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain founder, producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Roger Cusson, KA1USA in Lisbon, Maine, wishing all of you the best from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.